This series by UBS is presented by Automated Voices and may include adaptive narration.
Welcome to the CIO House View Daily, bringing you the latest market developments and investment insights. I'm Christopher Swan from the UBS Chief Investment Office. It's Wednesday, the 2nd of September, and the time is 7 a.m. in New York. Global equities are broadly lower today at the latest US close. The S&P 500 and the Nasdaq declined 0.7 and 1.3% respectively. In Europe, the stocks Europe 600 and Switzerland's SMI fell 20 and 30 basis points respectively. In Asia, the Nikkei 225 dropped 2.9%, while China's Shanghai Composite declined 1%. In foreign exchange, the euro buys 1.158 US dollars, while the dollar buys 0.81 Swiss francs. The US 10-year Treasury yield stands at 4.8%, unchanged on the day. Brent crude is 20 bips higher at $95 a barrel, while gold is down 0.5% at $4,341 an ounce. And that's all for the market update. Now let's take a more detailed look at the latest developments. Against that backdrop, global bond markets have continued to reprice higher this week, with the latest leg driven by rising oil prices in response to renewed US strikes on Iran. US Treasury yields on Wednesday climbed back toward levels not seen since before the global financial crisis, with 10 and 30-year yields rising to 4.8% and 5.28% respectively. Internationally, Japan's 10-year government bond yield surpassed 3% for the first time since 1996. Markets are also assigning a high probability to a September Bank of Japan rate hike, while Federal Reserve pricing is tilted toward tightening in September following Fed Chair Kevin Warsh's more hawkish Jackson Hole remarks. Ordinarily, such a backdrop would support both the US dollar and the Japanese yen. Instead, the relationship between yields and currencies has become less straightforward. The DXY US dollar index has weakened since late July despite elevated treasury yields, and the dollar-yen rate remains close to 160 even as Japanese government bond yields rise to multi-decade highs. The common thread in our view is that investors are becoming more selective about the types of yields they're willing to reward. Not all high yields are created equal. Rising yields are a global phenomenon, but currencies are responding very differently depending on what's driving them. Investors appear increasingly willing to reward yields associated with stronger fiscal positions, stable policy frameworks, and attractive carry. By contrast, yields driven by concerns over fiscal sustainability or rising government financing needs appear less supportive for currencies. The experiences of both the US dollar and Japanese yen illustrate this shift. Despite sharply higher Treasury and Japanese government bond yields, neither currency has enjoyed sustained support, suggesting markets are demanding more than simply higher nominal returns. Fed policy remains a key wildcard. Following Chair Warsh's Jackson Hole remarks, markets have shifted to price in a higher chance of Fed tightening this year. Our base case remains that the Fed stays on hold through year-end, with labour and manufacturing data yet to make a compelling case for tightening policy. However, we also think the risks have become more balanced. Rising oil prices, ongoing supply-side pressures, and the possibility that inflation proves more persistent than expected could reinforce the Fed's increasingly hawkish rhetoric. Market-implied odds of a September hike have risen sharply in recent days, highlighting how sensitive expectations remain to incoming data. Friday's labour report and next week's inflation data could be pivotal. Continued moderation in inflation would likely see markets parry back hike expectations, while a firmer reading, particularly alongside resilient labour market conditions, could strengthen the case for rates remaining higher for longer and potentially even a pivot to Fed hikes. Carry still stands out. In a world of moderate US dollar weakness, investors are still being rewarded for holding currencies that combine attractive yields with stronger fiscal foundations. We continue to favor currencies such as the Norwegian krone and New Zealand dollar, while sterling and the Chinese yuan also remain attractive. Norway offers one of the highest yields in the G10 and benefits from its status as a net energy exporter. Higher oil prices could provide an additional near-term tailwind if energy markets remain tight. New Zealand remains supported by the prospect of additional Reserve Bank of New Zealand tightening, albeit with a more gradual policy path now being priced after its September decision to hike. We also continue to view sterling positively, supported by improving confidence in UK assets, a more fiscally credible political backdrop, and the potential for investors to reduce still substantial short positions. In China, persistent trade surpluses and continued People's Bank of China tolerance for gradual appreciation should support the yuan, particularly if broader US dollar weakness resumes. Rather than focusing simply on where yields are highest, investors may increasingly need to consider why those yields are available in the first place. For many investors, this supports the case for continued diversification away from concentrated US dollar exposure, with stronger fiscal foundations, including the Norwegian krone and New Zealand dollar, while sterling and the Chinese yuan also remain attractive. We continue to expect broader dollar weakness to support the euro against the US dollar over time, with the exchange rate moving toward 1.18 to 1.2 as markets ultimately scale back Fed tightening expectations and as the European Central Bank potentially delivers another rate increase. While our base case is for the Fed to stay on hold this year, labor and inflation data in the coming days may prove pivotal in determining whether the hawkish shift in Fed market pricing is excessive or necessary. Given greater bond market and currency volatility, we believe investors should focus on building robust, diversified, and risk-managed portfolios. We see merit in reviewing currency allocations against longer-term spending and investment needs, rebalancing away from excess US dollar exposure, and potentially using structured strategies to diversify or harness pockets of volatility to generate yield. We still like short and medium maturity government bonds for both income and as portfolio diversifiers. But we also see merit in diversifying liquidity positions across tools including fixed-term deposits, certificates of deposit, diversified fixed income approaches, and select structured strategies to balance returns to risks. We also see value in maintaining a strategic allocation to gold, which can complement these positions through robust central bank demand and its role as a portfolio hedge against currency debasement and US fiscal pressure. Turning now to other developments which caught our attention, the US economy continues to show resilience. The ISM Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index fell to 54.6 in August from July's four-year high of 55.6 and came in below market expectations of 55.2. According to data released on Tuesday, new orders slowed, employment growth eased, and the backlog of orders fell. The overall reading, however, still marked the eighth consecutive month of expansion in US factory activity. Separately, US job openings increased by 89,000 to 7.27 million in July, according to the latest job openings and labor turnover survey. This was up from a downwardly revised 7.18 million openings in June, but below market expectations of 7.3 million. The survey also showed that both the quits rate and layoffs fell. Augusta's non-farm payrolls due this Friday will be the next key data to watch ahead of the Federal Reserve's policy meeting later this month. A report showing strong labor demand could further raise market expectations for interest rate hikes. For the equity market, however, we think the resilience of the US economy and robust earnings should continue to drive a broadening of performance in the coming months. We expect earnings growth of 25% for the S&P 500 this year and recommend diversified exposure across sectors. Looking ahead to the 3rd of September, the focus will also be on Australia's balance of trade for July and the US ISM Services Purchasing Managers Index for August. And that's it for today. I'm Christopher Swan from the UBS Chief Investment Office, and we look forward to bringing you the latest update tomorrow.
This material has been prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS Switzerland AG, regulated by FINMA in Switzerland, its subsidiaries or affiliates, collectively referred to as UBS. The investment views have been prepared in accordance with legal requirements designed to promote the independence of investment research. This material is for your information only and is not intended as an offer or a solicitation of an offer to buy or sell any investment or other specific product. The analysis contained herein does not constitute a personal investment recommendation or take into account the particular investment objectives, investment strategies, financial situation, and needs of any specific recipient. This material may not be reproduced or copies circulated without prior authority of UBS. Please visit www.ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer to read the full legal disclaimer applicable to this material.